Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, as always, to the From the Couch podcast. I am your host, Peter Rogers, on the Couch of Champions with Will Gibbons and John Sanderson. This one's dedicated for our strong German following, Was Machst.
Is that our new fan?
No. I was hoping that by saying we have a large German following, we'll just magically have one and we'll become huge in Europe, and that's where our niche market will be. But surprisingly, the Germans are not very interested in the Boston Celtics.
Hey, next week goes out to you, Bulgaria.
We'll just bounce around the countries of Europe until someone interacts with us, and we'll just pretend that we are then catering to them exclusively.
Let's do it.
It could be successful. Today I tried to, via the Twitters, get a Celtics mail back going, but of course no one responded because no one loves us. So we'll see how many more tweets I have to do like that before I just give up. Don't make me give up, fans. Don't let me. Anywho's, we have a lot to go, a lot to do this, well, not a lot, but we have a good thing to talk about this episode. We are going to bring back our, we've only really done it once, but peaks and troughs.
Peaks and troughs, yeah. Peaks and troughs.
And we're going to look upon the last, I guess it's just the three games that the Celtics have had so far, and talk about some highs and some lows. But first, as we've said multiple times on this podcast, we're an ever-evolving podcast, and I would like to add a new segment to start off every episode, the segment known as the Brooklyn Nets Sucks Watch, in which we keep track of mainly the Brooklyn Nets, but also the Mavs, and just keep track of teams who we have their first-round pick, and especially ones that have a lot of criteria lined up with them, so that you at home, fans of both the Celtics and the Couch, can stay up to date with how teams are doing and who you should be rooting for and against. So, to start, the Nets are continuing being exactly what we thought they would be, which is going to be the worst team in the NBA, and they're 0-3. And it's beautiful.
Good.
Well, they have the second worst point differential. You know who has the worst in the NBA right now?
Who?
Houston Rockets.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Hey, man.
They're minus 20.
Minus 20? Yeah. Lord have mercy on my soul.
I take it back. The Sixers are the worst. Oh. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Respectable. So we own the Brooklyn Nets first round pick with no weird strings attached. Yeah, no strings attached. It's 100% ours, no matter where it lands. So that's why we're hoping for just the worst. We want the Nets to lose every single game.
Not just this year, folks. Not just next year. But also the year after that.
We got there for a long time. And I want to also say that this happened a while ago, and I meant to... Actually, it might have just happened this week. Ben Simmons, the LSU star, tweeted out a picture to his quote-unquote uncle, Bill Simmons, of a picture of him creating himself in NBA 2K, and his favorite team was the Boston Celtics. So if that's predicting the future, I don't know what is. If that's not.
That's a good segue to talking about our grain.
Our grain?
Our grain.
Oh.
Green, yeah.
Yes. Well, first, we haven't finished the Brooklyn Nets suck watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So
I think we could probably come up with a pithier name.
I know. This is just kind of what I was working with, but I'll let you guys, if you guys come up with anything better, we'll implement it next week. And if we have a great soundbite, because obviously Steve loves implementing soundbites into the podcast.
Oh, I'm nutting on the Nets.
What's up?
How about nut on the Nets?
Nutting on the Nets.
Was that the sound bit for that?
That's the sound of nutting on the Nets.
We might have to take this out.
So,
I don't know what I'll say, but yeah, I They're terrible.
They're garbage. And we also have the Mavericks' first-round pick, as long as it falls outside of 1 through 7. And the Mavs are currently 2-1. So, I mean, it's obviously balls early in the season. So, but still, you know, they're not sucking and they're not undefeated. So that's good. Exactly where we want them to be. Well, 1-2 would be better, but 2-1, I'll take it. Anywho's, that was this week's edition of Nutting on the Nets. Plus friends. Nutting on the Nets and friends. But to the main staple of today's episode, some peaks and troughs.
Peaks and troughs, yeah. Peaks and troughs.
Where we discuss the highs and the lows of the first three games of the Boston Celtics. Let us start with John Sanderson. I'm going to decide that we start with the troughs and end on the peaks. So give me a trough that you have so far this young Boston Celtics season.
I'll call it a trough. I'm not sure what it is, but it's an interesting point to start our conversation, especially given your enthusiasm about these people. But the fact that the rookies have gotten 0 minutes combined.
Yeah.
2 minutes for Jordan Mickey and Terry Rozier, mind you.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
4 minutes combined.
And in those 2 minutes, Jordan Mickey was phenomenal. Got 2 rebounds, got fouled to the line, hit his 3 shots, and had an assist, I think. Come on, Brad Stevens. How much more, I don't know, display of greatness do you need before you put this guy on the court? But it is disheartening, especially when we're having so much struggles offensively. It's disheartening to see a lack of the rooks, I guess. And especially, you know, because, like, I feel like Terry Rozier has some offensive potential, but, like, R.J. Hunter especially. Like, R.J. Hunter is the rookie who comes most to mind.
He hasn't played.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think part of it's been illness, I want to say. But even still, yeah, like, let's get some 3 balls draining in the garden.
Yeah.
All right. I agree, John. I agree. That's a good trough to start with. And hopefully moving forward, Stevens, there's already been a lot of talk of trying to switch up the starting lineup, just to get something going offensively. And hopefully I don't think any rookies are going to sneak in, not at now at least, but hopefully that means that maybe the bench, you get a little more rookie time, especially towards the end of games.
Yeah, and I'm not that surprised by Rozier not playing because he's so redundant for some of their better players. But yeah, the other ones I was a little surprised by.
Yeah, I agree. Will Gibbons.
Adding on to talking about the starting lineup not playing so hot. I guess a trough just 3 games in is Olynyk, right, the front court first line isn't doing so great. Like Olynyk, David Lee, I guess Zeller starts, but
yeah.
Not a lot offensively. That's you don't pay them for their defense. And
no. David Lee was specifically my trough. He has 5 field goals through the first 3 games, and he's been blocked 4 times.
What?
Yeah. And it's perplexing to me because he looked great during the preseason. He looked like the David Lee of old, the 20-10 guy who was going to be a steal in Danny Ainge's geniusness to trade, you know, the contract of Gerald Wallace for him. But he seems to somehow now be old David Lee, who fell out of favor in Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, not only, like, is he not doing well, but he's, like, clogging up the lanes and, like, I don't know. I feel like, right, the first, like, I watched one preseason game, and it was before he tailed off, apparently, and, like, just, like, throwing those outlet passes and just, like, running and gunning.
He looked great. I mean, we had a whole episode dedicated to him being, you know, fuck Kevin Love. We don't need him anymore.
Yeah.
And now he's not quite doing it.
I still, no question, would rather have, like, an assortment of like David Lee, Jared Sullinger. I still hate Jared Sullinger. David Lee, Kelly, Zeller, Amir Johnson. If they're playing at their like expected level, I'd still rather have that than like Kevin Love.
Oh yeah, no, I agree with that. And
John and I are saying like this team is not going to win. They're like a top, you know, 15 player away from being a real team.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a little worried now about our predictions. I mean, obviously it's super early in the season and everyone freaks out, but this inability to kind of get people going is a little perturbing.
I mean, like, to be honest, he's, I guess, David Lee, but he did get benched last year.
Yeah.
They just don't have, like, great players. I mean, it's...
No, it's true.
You know, you can get them open all you want with your coaching, but if they can't hit shots, which they can't, and they never have.
Yeah.
This group, other than Thomas and, you know, occasionally Bradley and Smart, but I mean, they're gonna overachieve. They're gonna be fun, and they're not gonna scare anybody. I don't think.
They're like. Assessment. It sort of makes sense that like. Why they played so well when they did last year. It was like they needed 50 games to like warm up and like, I don't know, like a pit, like in baseball, you need like a few at bats to get to the pitcher. And like they, I don't know, they're so young and they need to thrive off like chemistry and moving without the, like they need to know how to play with each other. And they,
and before we like, grab our pitchforks and storm the garden. We also like the one game we've played the Sixers, which we won. We took care of business there. Then we played the Raptors, who are, you know, probably are going to be our biggest competition in the East. And then we played the Spurs. You know,
yeah. No, I'm not worried, but I think it would be.
Wait, yeah, those are like the Raptors. We forgot about the Raptors. The Raptors still, like, I would take them over the Pacers. I would take them over the Bucks. The Bucks look terrible, by the way.
Yeah. No, they do. Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Raptors, I mean, yeah. So I think it's just, obviously it's early, and obviously this is all knee-jerk reactions to the first three games, but that's the point of a podcast, and that's the point of peaks and troughs right around now, so that we can get overzealous in our reactions.
I also think it would be very a foolish prediction to say that the Celtics are going to finish the year with the roster unchanged.
Ooh, I like that. I'd agree. I think
they just have too many log jams of like decent to solid players at positions.
It's like the same. Yeah, it's the same at all. You know, they got three point guards who are all the same. We got, you know, a log jam in the front court of all the same. So, no, I definitely think there are definitely moves to be made. And maybe one of these moves is to get just a basically pure shooter. But I'm kind of hoping RJ Hunter can blossom into that.
Someone's got to give. They're not keeping this roster. We all agree on that.
Yeah. And I still stand by as Jared Sullinger.
I really hope that he's like playing up his
draft stock or his trade stock.
Yeah.
I think so. He's been
playing well so far.
Yeah, he's been playing
per minute basis. He's their best player.
Yeah, which I maybe some people are like, Jared Sullinger's real. It's time. You know, he's finally committed. I will never fall for Jared Sullinger. He's hurt me too many times. I think the Celtics, you trade him while he's in this semi-hot streak and then laugh as he just crashes and burns a la Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I still hate him from his Ohio State days as a adopted Michigan fan. Anyways.
But enough on the negative side. It's time for some peaks. We're going to shift gears and be happy about what we've seen out of the first three games of this Boston Celtics team. Will Gibbons, Why don't you start us off with a giant, big mountain to climb of happiness?
It is the praise Brad Stevens received from none other than Greg Popovich yesterday.
Amen.
Just remind us that, you know what, we're in good hands. I'll read you the quote. Popovich doesn't usually, say so much about an opponent or opposing coach, or say such praise in general.
He's like, it's when Bill Belichick says Ed Reed is the best, safety ever to play. Like, when Bill Belichick gives players praise, you're like, yeah, Bill Belichick loves that player, and that's a really good player. It's like when if Pop gives anyone praise, you're like, man, that dude's good, because it's Pop who said it.
Right, so he said about Stevens, he said, I really respect the hell out of him. He's a really fine young coach, great demeanor, his team executes really well, and they're just going to keep getting better, so I enjoy him. And he kept saying, this is so funny. He said, I really respect what he does. I'll still watch his Butler tape, trying to learn some stuff he did there, to be honest with you.
Good old Pop.
And that's incredible.
And that's any Celtics fan will tell you this, and really any NBA fan will tell you this, Brad Stevens is the best player on this team. That the only reason this Celtics team, that's basically a glorified bench, is any good and will be any good, and people expect them to win upwards of 45 games this year, is because of Brad Stevens. It's because of how just good Brad Stevens is at using what he's got.
Also because they're in the East.
Well, yes. I mean, the East has a bit to do with it, but, it's because of Brad Stevens. There's no all-star on this team. Though, fast forward a couple years, and my peak might be a gigantic mountain of all-star.
RJ Hunter, Jordan Mickey, all-star.
Marcus Smart, all-star.
A gigantic all-star mountain in his pants for Marcus Smart.
Buddy.
Smart will be like an giant all-star. He might be a couple times, but like, he's going to be like a first-team all-defensive player. And like,
Marcus Smart is on a goddamn tear. But he's gotten much better, especially offensively. And then defensively, he's still just a goddamn menace. He had a Rondo play against the Spurs where he dives onto the floor, gets the bouncing ball out between Tony Parker's legs, just like Rondo did against the Magic way, way back when.
Oh, I remember that play.
Yeah. And it's just Marcus Smart, it was coming out of college and all of last year, there were so many questions about his offense, and at times he surprised us with his offensive abilities. But now with like the team needing, it's Marcus Smart's team. It's him and Isaiah Thomas have displayed to be the most consistent scorers on the team since Avery Bradley's three-pointer somehow just magically disappeared. And Marcus Smart's delivered. Dude's got some skill, and I think in like 2 or 3 years he could be a Kyle Lowry kind of point guard. Big and physical, and gets into the paint, draws fouls, shoots free throws.
Yeah, I think like more of like
a little temperamental.
Yeah,
temperamental. I don't think he runs into the, like, oh, is he in shape? I think Marcus Smart's built like a linebacker. Yeah,
no, Marcus Smart, like, is big because he's just big. I mean, the guy's not out of shape. But I'm thinking, like, physical play-wise. I mean, maybe also, like, a less athletic Westbrook. But even then, I'm not so sure on that one. Marcus Smart has now figured out how to get into the paint and draw fouls and shoot free throws, which is huge.
In preseason, there was that game, or summer league, not preseason, where he had like 28 points in 26 minutes. I'm totally making up that number, but he had like 6 threes or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, and against the Spurs, he played 39 minutes, had 17 points, 7 for 12 shooting. And he's already one of the better point guard defenders in the league. So there's a big peak of Marcus Smart on the horizon for this Boston Celtics team. John Sanderson, what is your peak that is standing next to the Brad Stevens, Mount Stevens, and Mount Smart?
Wait, can I? I'm going to venture to a different team.
Whoa.
The Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Who just didn't get enough respect for being one of the best regular season teams of all time and then winning the championship. And now they're pissed off. And I don't think people thought Steph Curry was really the MVP. They're just like, okay, he's the best player on the best team.
Yep.
And now he's showing he's pretty damn good. And
he had a video game night the other night.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. And all that, I like, you know, he's, yeah, they have a lot of good players, but a lot, it opens up a lot of things on an offense when you're somebody's getting double teamed 30 feet from the hoop.
Yeah.
So, like, I still think he's underrated, weirdly.
Damn. Strong take by John Sanderson.
I like
the hottest of takes.
The hot is so hot, I'm going to call the fire department. It is amazing to watch Steph Curry play because it literally is a video game. He just makes moves and moves so fluidly that I don't comprehend how he does it. There are no other athletes in any sport that come to mind that move just so freely around their space. I'm trying to think right now of like someone, like some running back in football, or
probably like Stephen Ridley.
Oh, notorious.
Totally, yeah. John's like, that's my boy.
Don't diss Ridley.
Another peak of the week is that I'm on a 2-game fantasy football win streak.
Yeah. There's the peak of the week, even with Dez Bryant getting you zilch.
Unless T.Y. Hilton scores like 800 points tonight.
That's always possible.
But
Becca's hoping that she gets a big performance from Frank Gore. So.
Oh, I'm playing her. No, I hope not.
yeah, it was big night for Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah, seriously.
Big night for Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli Manning, man. What a week to pick him up on.
I guess we're a Celtics cast, but I just want to say this Broncos thing is cute and it's not going to last.
I agree with you. I think people are – Peyton Manning, just very briefly, Peyton Manning just played a normal Peyton Manning game, a normal – September, November Peyton Manning game last night. And people forget that Peyton Manning, as soon as it starts getting cold, his skill decreases vastly. And if he's already, I mean, if he decreases past the level he's been playing at prior to the game against the Packers, then this Broncos team is just done. Dead in the water. So, not too worried. Plus, Jamie Collins will shut down Vernon Davis all day, so it's okay.
I like it.
Jamie Collins.
It's Demaryius.
Oh, it's Malcolm, Super Bowl hero.
Oh, yeah. What about, yeah, I'm not that scared.
No, it'll be fine. I trust that team. But we are a Celtics podcast. We have been known to wander, so this was all within the rules of the podcast that we created the rules. So, ultimately, it's a win-win for all of us. Yeah, so that's what we got for some peaks and troughs. It's been, a little bit of a rocky start. I think the only game you might have been disappointed about is the Raptors game. But even still, I mean, I don't think if we had beaten the Spurs, then it's more surprising to beat them than to lose to them. So I understand 1-2 is not exactly where we want to be at right now, but I can get behind it. We'll see what we got moving forward.
Indiana on Wednesday.
Yeah, that would be, if we pull out a win there, that would be a big statement win. But again, I have them as the 3 seed in the East, so I would be not surprised if they lose, but I'm also kind of regretting that positioning. But you live and you learn, as do we all. A little bit of kudos and pudos, and then sign off, because I'm going to try my best to finish Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you figured out who killed Laura Palmer yet?
Oh, we figured out who killed Laura Palmer. Not only that, were in the midst of a deadly game of chess.
Oh. What's that dude's name again?
Wyndham Earl.
Wyndham Earl, dude.
Dude is f***ing crazy. I like all his costumes, though. The guy's got an amazing costume shop in his abandoned cabin in the middle of the woods.
I know.
I wish I could wear a fake mustache like that.
All you listeners out there, watch that show. It's fantastic.
It's pretty insane. It has gone from dorkily and humorously weird into, like, traumatic and amazing.
I have no tolerance for scary.
But it's not that scary. There's parts of it that
are. It's very psychological, though.
Yeah, it is. Very psychological.
I've never watched a show where I'm, like, thinking about it all day.
Yeah. Yep.
The way I am with Twin Peaks.
Yep, that's very true.
More so than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is, like, good, and then when it ends, I'm like, that was awesome, and then I kind of can exit the world pretty smoothly.
Twin Peaks sits with you.
Twin Peaks, you're in the world all day until you finish the series.
But stay tuned for our From the Movie Seat podcast, where we go into more depth about what TV show to watch when you're looking for a mind f***. I suggest Black Mirror. Some kudos and pudos before we wrap this beauty up. I got two kudos. It's a good week for me. Two kudos. One, kudos to Will Gibbons' favorite player in the NBA, Russell Westbrook, for banking off a gigantic three-pointer to send the game into double overtime, or just overtime. Double overtime? I don't remember.
That took it to overtime.
Took it to overtime. That was an unbelievable shot. So kudos to you, Westbrook. You have a fan here, even if you don't have a fan next to me.
Even though we'll get taken out of context. Continue.
And then also, I want to give kudos for Frank Thomas's attempt at cheering up Mets fans.
The Mets have nothing to hold their heads down for, except they didn't play that well, and they gave away this World Series.
It was a hilarious attempt at trying to make a sad fan base happy, but it failed miserably. So, kudos to you, Frank Thomas. All of New York thanks you.
I want to give kudos gotta give kudos to the Royals, right?
We're a good podcast who will tip our hats to those who are successful.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the game last night. I feel like a bum, but I don't know. Last year, for anybody who does not like the Giants and enjoys feel good stories, like, that was traumatic. We're talking about Twin Peaks making you think all day. Like, I don't think after that Alex Gordon triple, I've never been so, like, rocked by, like, a game I shouldn't care about. I was like, what? It feels good, and they just a likable team.
Yeah.
Hosmer, Wizard of Oz, man.
True story. And I'm glad, too, after the sad and disappointing loss that was last year, I'm glad they were able to get back in and win. And Mr. Sanderson, to take us home, some kudos or some pudos.
How about kudos to... I already kind of gave kudos to Steph Curry, who I was going to give kudos to.
That's true. You did take your peek out of context and assign it to the NFL, to an NBA team that was not the Boston Celtics.
Oh, actually, I have a good kudos. How about kudos to Will and my high school classmate, Mike Condon, for starting the season 4-0.
Yeah!
There you go.
That's pretty cool.
Beautiful.
For a second, I thought you said kudos to Will, like that I was also 4-0. But no, we were high school classmates. I am not 4-0 as a goalie in the NHL. Yeah, he's 4-0 on Stanley Cup favorite, filling in for the reigning NHL MVP, Carey Price. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. And he actually might be someone who would respond nicely to the podcast if we give him a shout-out. Unlike,
we should have him on sometime.
We should! Unlike most famous people who ignore us. Looking at you, Zach Lowe.
nerve.
But now he doesn't. Now Grantland's dead, so yeah, maybe
who's Zach... laughing now? We have a podcast.
You don't, Zach.
Burn. But if you want Zach, you can come and please take over this show. I will step back as host and let you host this show, Zach Lowe, if you really want to.
We will all pay you $5 an episode.
I can work with that now that I have a full-time salary. So that's our offer. So if you're going to take anything away from this episode, don't panic on the Celtics just yet. We're only 3 games in, and they've played some good competition. Twin Peaks will fuck your mind. And Zach Lowe, if you want to make $15 a week, you can host this podcast. As always, make sure to follow us on Twitter, at FTC Podcast, because we tweet out regularly and no one responds. So be the one person to respond and get all of our love and affection. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rating. 5 stars if you'd love to have Zach Lowe take over for me. 3 stars if you'd rather Will Gibbons starts hosting. And 1 star if you think we should just not have a host and just have 30 minutes of silence.
Wow, I'm on the ballot, huh? That was unexpected.
Yeah, that was the first name that came to my mind. I was originally going to petition, dang it, and now I can't think of someone really witty quickly. I was going to petition, no, I failed again. Anyways, where was I? I lost my train of thought. Well, as always, I'm your host, Peter Rogers, on a couch of champions with Will Gibbons and John Sanderson. If you vote 4 stars, John will be our host. So there you go, Will. Now you're not special anymore.
Yeah.
And until next week, stay comfy and don't leave the couch.
Not doing it.